Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 165 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
Horrible, man. I'm actually in pain.
Why?
I was actually like, dude, I feel like, you know that when Saddam Hussein and Uday Khuse, his sons, when they would grab people and torture them, they like held their feet and beat their feet like with like rods to like you know, inflict pain upon the nerve endings of your feet. Yeah. That's how my feet, my legs feel from walking the convention floor yesterday, because I was like, I'll just get through the pain. It's like, because I my boots are getting kind of old, and I was like, I wear boots in case I have to. Man cannot stand, he cannot fight. So if there's somebody much bigger than me that knows how to fight, I kick him in the kneecaps.
Right.
I bring him down. I pull a Kirk, a la Undiscovered Country. I don't mess around.
You're hoping that their genitalia are in their knees, but anyway.
Exactly. Yes, I do. But I think this will be the last year I ever wear work boots walking around a convention floor.
Yeah, come on, man. That's a rookie mistake. I've never been to a convention, and even I think that's a rookie mistake.
No, it ain't a rookie mistake. This is the first year it's actually become a problem.
Okay.
It's like, I think probably because I didn't have the insoles and this and that. But either way.
Because you're getting old, son.
I'm getting old, yes. I'm getting very old. But other than that, other than the pain... And a few other things. I guess we could just jump right into it. I went to Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's
Larry King. Heroes Larry Con. King, tell me all about Heroes Con.
Okay, I only went for the Sunday. Just the Sunday.
Okay.
And I figured those worth the salt, the creators that are worth their salt, should be there on Sunday. They wouldn't have bounced out.
It's the Lord's Day, of course.
Saturday and everything. Exactly. It's like that. You should show up. People that ain't, but and also traffic wasn't that bad compared to getting in there. So getting there, walk in, check in. Of course, anybody that does the cosplay weapons and stuff, they got to have the
orange
Charlotte police check their weapons.
Oh, really?
Like they have the orange caps on their fake guns and make sure the blades aren't real blades. And I'm thinking, you could easily hide weapons. And I'm like, I'm going to tell these guys how to do their jobs. And I'm like, they're just going to make things worse. It makes it sound like I'm being a crazy person. Like, just keep walking there, keep your mouth shut, just get in there. So I get in the little convention center, walk to the main, and of course the cosplay people, which I used to be like, okay, I'm torn. Some of it's like, there's a dude, full blown Cliff Secord Rocketeer,
yeah.
The jacket, it made it like, but I was like, oh man. Like I had the camera and I was like, I didn't want like a dude looked like he was sweating buckets because I don't know if it was a vinyl, probably vinyl. The yeah. Dude, like he looked miserable. And I'm like, because he had the helmet. And I'm just like, oh no, I felt bad for the, it got, dude.
I got to ask though, just
time.
Quickly. Did he have the film Rocketeer pack? The two,
the two. The film Rocketeer
okay,
pack.
Cool,
the
cool,
two,
cool.
Not that. I am not a fan of the comic.
No. I agree. So I prefer the film look. They did well.
The film was like the film improved the look, and you know, much more visually interesting. But I'll just say this much: I had a great time. Mm. I had a great time. But you know me, Mr. Curmudgeon, Mr. I can always find like. You know,
oh yeah, old man Larry with his busted up feet and ankles.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Part of it was extremely depressing. I mean, it was depressing to see. There are so few people actually selling comics. These like Artist Alley and then they had Indie Island, and people were selling comics for the most part. A lot of them are selling prints, like, you know, doing, Jurassic Park or whatever's hot, you know, like pop culture wise.
Yeah.
Here, buy my print. And I'm going through the Artist Alley and it's like, Prince, and not the Purple Rain Prince.
No.
But P-R-I-N-T-S. Just nothing but this garbage of, you know, somebody printed out an 11x17 paper. Oh, here's a, you know, Steven Universe or something. I'm like, this is depressing. All this space is wasted. And here's the book, you know, a little booklet they give you. It's like kind of nice cover to it, you know. And it's like that is some random rocket chick. I don't know. Some like, you know, whatever. It's sometimes they put the little indie island, you know, art on the cover, which is like these like independent creator stuff. Okay. Like on the back cover, they got a Mike Waringo Spider-Man Doc Ock from like many, many, many years ago before he passed away.
Right.
Which that's
feels a little bit insensitive.
Moten. Well, no, it's like, well, Tim Idea is, he's, you know, he was like a fan of the show. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it, you know, he was one of those, he was local, but it's like the family's okayed with it. You know, like they it's not like, it ain't really insensitive. It's like they still promote his work, you know, even though he's long past, but they have a one of those little scholarship things or fundraiser things for, I forgot what the deal is, but. And going through the book, and I'm like, okay, you know, find who's where, whatever. And I also took some books with me. And one of the books in particular was a book called Slots by Dan Panosian.
Yep.
You know, and I talked to him for a bit, and apparently he's working on basically a creator-owned book that's supposed to come out soon, hopefully, that's inspired by Mobius. I'm thinking Ozrock, you know, Airtight Garage kind of deal, because he's like inspired by Mobius. I'm like, all right, dude, you sold me and everything. Did you know that he basically he was a part of he helped create Kung Fu Panda?
Really?
Yeah, he was working at DreamWorks as studios, and they were working on like this kind of like taking, like, you know, like the whole and so Spielberg came across it and said, hey, let's make this a movie. So he's like, he wish he had like kind of held on to some of those ideas for himself so he could have kept
Yeah, that's money. Some major coin. Pity he was working on contract at the time.
Yeah, that's the downside. But I also went by and...
What was he like though to deal with? Was he good?
Panosian was a great dude. Like, he was a cool dude to talk to. And like, there's some of them you could tell like they're like, uh-huh, yeah, sure. They don't want to engage with you kind of thing. They're like just... But he was a cool dude to talk to. I talked to him about Slots. I talked to him about upcoming works. And apparently he's going to be working on a Marvel book coming up soon. I'm only doing the artwork. And I was like, dude, you're doing the art. I'm sold. After Slots, I'm sold.
He did a good run on X-Factor, which I didn't mind.
That's the thing. His art style back then, it didn't really click with me.
Yeah.
But his art style now, I love to death because, you know, got that kind of retro look to it. But yeah, so it's like I'm sold on whatever he's got coming up. So he was a cool dude to talk to. Same thing with I got my Spider-Man 2099 signed by Rick Leonardi.
Nice.
He did the artwork, of course. And I asked him, did anybody ever mention that Spider-Man 2099 and Batman Beyond there's way too many similarities there? And he either he was placating me or being sarcastic, because dude, if you've ever read Spider-Man 2099 and seen Batman Beyond, you could see the similarities.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But he's like, it's like, but he just works. So it's like one of those, he doesn't like stop and think about it. He's like, if Peter David hasn't complained about it, I guess it ain't a problem. So
yeah. Oh man, I mean, even down to the webbing under the armpits.
Exactly. Yeah. You said that throws back to the classic, you know, Spider-Man costume with Ditko. But even still, but he was a cool person to talk to. Talked about Spider-Man 2099 and a couple other books he'd worked on and everything, like how even though there are other people like will just throw a ton of detail into their work for like unnecessary detail,
yeah,
and like way his work would have a lot of energy to it. And also he was being inked by Al Williamson at the time, Spider-Man 2099. Al Williamson's an artistic legend to begin with, but just having that energy in the work, it's like hard to come by these days. A lot of people, it's so stiff. You tell they're using photo reference and all this. It's just, it was disappointing, but he was a cool person to talk to. I also went and there's a group of three creators, Matthew David Smith, Jeremy Massey, and Christine Brunson. They did this comic called Amazing Age. It's a superhero comic through Alternum. So I got their, you know, the little, their free comic book day, crowdfunded book that I picked up. I got that signed by, and they were cool people to talk to. They're all, you know, they have very enthused about what they do. They're not these introverted, yeah, we're comics, you know, that kind of, oh my God, that's another thing. I know you've never been to a convention, but a lot of people at comic people conventions are these introverted, like they don't even want to be there.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing here? Leave, flee, get out of here. You're not helping your cause any. But I talked to them for like, oh my God, for almost like an hour, like it added up to be like an hour. Because it's like, I step out of the way, they have a business interaction, and like, I'll be right back. I'll come back like 15, 20 minutes later. So you added up, it was like an hour, just you know, I just had a good time talking to them.
Good.
But like pointing out certain stuff, this is where it gets a little, I'll get my little haul out of the way. I also picked up two of their books, the little Amazing Age collection, this book called Beast Thing by two of the creators there. So I was like, okay, cool.
So what's Amazing Age like? It looks very New Warriors-ish.
It is, the best way to describe it is if, like, taking some Grant Morrison-ish ideas, but putting in like a new, like an early 90s New Warriors.
Okay.
Kind of rapping and everything. Yeah, like, you know, kind of pretty much straightforward superhero fare, which you don't really see that much these days. You know, it's like,
no, everything's got, you know, the grim dark edge.
Yeah, it's like, but they're about the characters
or
in general.
Deadpool,
like,
meta.
It's like, you know, oh God, yeah, that part where it's basically just over the top.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, I'm breaking the fourth wall. Like, it's really at the end of the day, it's the story of three friends. And how, like, they used to be friends, they broke, you know, kind of the friendship kind of broke apart, and they're getting their friendship back together, kind of thing. So it's about the characters with superhero setting, which is what a lot of these stories should be about. Shouldn't just be about punching and world-ending disaster and this and that. Picked up the colorist, Christine Brunson. She did a story, and like, I picked it up. It looked pretty cool. So I was like, figured why not. It's, you know, you would think it not necessarily would be my style, but hell, I don't, it doesn't matter, you know, like, I don't, as long as it looks good.
Yeah.
Picked up these Charles Forsman. He did these two comics, one called Slasher and the other called The Revenger. It's these very over the top comics that
is that a lady on the cover of Revenger?
That's the thing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
It kind of looks like Frank Quietly drawing Grace Knight.
I was actually going to say Frank Quietly and Steve Dillon.
Okay. Yeah.
Grace Jones, you mean?
Grace Jones. Sorry.
Yeah. From what is it?
Diamonds Are Forever.
A View to Kill. View to a Kill. Actually, she was in View to a Kill with I'm Christopher Walken. You know, she's also in Conan the Destroyer.
Wow.
But our mutual friend Leonard had recommended checking out Charles Forsman Table, and I'm not smelling burnt toast.
Just gonna say Drew Struzan, and that's all.
Do it. Charles Forsman's Table, and I picked those up, and he was a cool person to talk to. He's working on some artwork, and like how, like, he does a lot of his comics through Patreon. Like, yeah, you know, you pledge money, you get comics every month. So, like, you know, like, a lot of it's like handmade mini comic style stuff, which, fascinating idea. But this is where the tricky part comes in. I'm walking up to the table to get the booth, to get the front table at the check-in, where, you know, you have all the information desk for the convention.
Sure.
And to get the booklet, and also get the floor map, which I had to fold up because it's way too big for me to just, it's like with the, you know, like the floor plan for the convention center and everything. Oh, okay. Where all the booths and stuff are.
That looks like a list of our fallen. And
it kind of does. It's like, it's not the, like, you know, they have, you know, like, oh, you see this right here. Where's that? Well, they had the Back to the Future DeLorean, the part of that Michael J. Fox Foundation. They had that.
Yeah.
And then they show, like, they got the, you know, the Ecto-1 and the Jurassic Park Jeep.
That gear stick felt really loose, didn't it? You need to tighten those bits.
You're going to hell. Dear God, dude. It's like, you know what? I'm not fine with this circle of hell. I gotta go deeper. I gotta go further down into hell. You just can't stop digging, can you? You got that shovel. You like that Metallo in that first arc of Superman Batman, that Public Enemies arc. Metallo, when he had the bucket scoop for an arm, you just keep on digging. You keep on digging yourself a deeper hole to hell. I still go up to the desk, and I have like, oh, who canceled? And Mark Texaria canceled, Larry Stroman canceled. And I was like, well, there you go. Like, there's a bunch of people to cancel.
Yeah.
And then they added a name.
Oh,
and
no.
And the name they added.
I know who you're going to say.
Who do you think they added? Who do you think they added?
Well, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
No. He was there.
Oh.
I'll get to that. Added Chris.
Was it what? Frank Avila?
No. The people that canceled, like, I was like, the only people that kind of interested me was Larry Stroman, who did X Factor, you know, the Peter David X Factor.
Yeah.
And Mark Texaria. Because I had this, I want him to sign this, but of course I can't. I've had this thing for almost 20 plus years.
That's a weird book, that one. Yeah.
Sabretooth, which is like painted and everything. It's like really cool. I love it. It's disturbing looking, weird. But they added a name. The name they added, Chris Claremont. He just showed up on Sunday.
Oh, really?
He just showed up. I was like, what do you mean he's here? It's like, yeah, we invited him. He wasn't sure he's going to come, but he's here now. I'm like, I have nothing for him to sign. So I go over there. I go to where the line is. The line is like 15, 20 yards long.
Of course.
And, of course, there is a Oni Joker and a geisha Harley Quinn standing in line, of course, and a bunch of other weird cosplayer strangers. I go up, I'm like, I go by his table. I'm like, oh, that's Chris Claremont, of course. I know what he looks like. He hasn't changed in like 20, 30 years. Like, watch one of those Stan Lee with the Masters, like talking with the comic book creators. And one of the videos was on YouTube. It was with Chris Claremont. Dude hasn't changed since.
Like, he's still got the beard and the big glasses.
Exactly. Well, no glasses, actually. Okay. But $5 per signature per item. I told myself, never again will I have something signed by anybody. Steranko is the last person.
So you parted with $10 and got each titty, right?
I should just hang up on you. You know, you're no fun. So I'm not going to wait and fit a line, you know, for God knows how long.
Yeah.
To pay money. It's like, so that disappointed me. So, okay, I'll find Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. Finally found him. It was like 12:55 or so. Signing again at 2:30, and he's sitting right there. So you can't even get a signature. So I had my Twilight,
yeah,
you know, the Howard Chaykin, not the Stephanie Myers vampire glow in the sun crap.
You team Edward or team Jacob?
I'm team bullet to the brain. So it was heartbreaking. It's like, you know, just about 1 o'clock. I have to wait an hour and a half.
Yep.
For him to start signing again. Now he didn't have a charge for signature, but at this point, who knows? So at that point, it's like, all right, well, there you go for that. And Matt Kent, who had been doing, he actually did the Ninjak revival.
Yeah.
Which you think Ninjak? The book is incredible.
No, it's like we were talking about it like three episodes ago.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was like, oh, I got my book. He won't sign your stuff unless you donate the they have to hear initiative thing.
Yeah,
they want donations before they sign anything. It's like, all right, no signature here, and it's going on like the people. I understand people want original artwork. They want to see somebody draw this and that. There are people. Pencil head sketch bus.
Yeah.
$100 for pencils.
Wow.
For a bust. I'm like, you're not that good. No offense. You were like, I was over there talking to that artist. She's a colorist, but she also does pencil art as well and line art at Christine Brunson. Doing sketches for a third or fourth, but they were better than this stuff. I'm like, this is what you're picking up because you can see what these people are working on. The ones that are charging on it. Like, you're doing nothing. It's just people are stupid. It's just like, oh my God. And it was aggravating to see.
Right. Question.
These people charge so much.
Who would you drop $100 on for a sketch?
No one. Not a single person.
What about like Travis Charest?
Nope. Not even him.
All red?
No, actually no.
So literally no one.
There's no one alive that'd be worthwhile getting, you know. Kirby would be the only person I'd be willing to do that, and he's dead.
Yeah.
He's been dead like 25 years. Kirby is the only one, and it could have been I'm talking old Kirby where his the art wasn't that great. It could have been, a Ryan head sketch. I'd pay $100 for that. I'd probably pay $200 for it just to have that.
I don't know. I think there's certain artists I'd go up to $100 for. Mignola.
But I could see that. I could see being willing to part with that. But still, that's tough. See,
Travis Charest would probably take 3 weeks to do just the head.
You're lucky if it'd take him like 3 weeks to do the eyes.
Yeah.
It'd take him 3 weeks to do the eyes and the eyebrows if you're lucky. It's like I was taking in the sights, as it were, because there was original artwork there, original pages from Kirby, Gil Kane, Rich Buckler, a bunch of like these, like going from Kirby to like Rich Buckler.
So which how much is a Kirby page set you back?
There's no, they're not for sale. The guy that runs the convention is a big Kirby fan. Like the guy, the Shelton Drum, the guy that runs owns the comic store and runs the convention. These are like from his personal collection.
Okay.
And so I'm pretty sure these guys are armed because they're priceless. There's no,
Well, to us, they're priceless. To Joe Blow down the street.
But that's the thing. You probably get like, $50.
Yeah.
$50 for a Kirby page. He had the, I think it's issue 7's cover of Mr. Miracle. It's got Shiloh Norman on the cover and everything. I'm like, this is like, that's the original artwork. And Mike Royer was there at the show, but he had a line, had quite a big line. So I was like, I'm not going to, I didn't have nothing for him to sign anyway.
I definitely drop $100
on Kirby's inkers
on Joe Maggiara drawing Gambit. Like, these people have to draw certain things. Right
there. Yeah, okay, certain things, yeah. Like, not just any...
I don't want Hellboy... I don't want Mignola drawing Superman. I want Mignola drawing either Gotham Hellboy by Gaslight or Hellboy.
What if Joe Mab was drawing, like, Red Monica?
That didn't do anything for me, that series.
Battle Chasers. Well, he didn't even finish it.
Yeah.
He just started it and never finished it.
Nah, Joe Mad's Gambit was the height of my teens. Like, that would make me so happy.
Yeah, you were raging for that Cajun, weren't you?
Oh, I was. Would have switched teams in a heartbeat.
Oh, God. You would have been a real external.
There's jokes to make about staffs.
You'd be definitely part of the Us Assassins Guild.
That's a stretch, sorry.
Yeah, that was a really stretch. But going through, they had a. I was like, wait, that's that cover. That's one of those Frank Cho covers from Mighty Avengers. I looked at it, and they had the price $10,600.
What?
And like, who's got this kind of money? And it's like, and it's not even like that wasn't even great. Like, if it was. There was a Spider-Woman piece, but I couldn't even see the price because there's another piece of artwork blocking where the price was. Who knows? But this, it's like tens of thousands of dollars for the stuff you could buy.
Yeah.
It was great to see like this one-of-a-kind artwork right there in person. But after they had furries around. The people in the furry costumes.
I'm aware of the phenomenon. Yep.
Yeah, they were walking, and thank Christ that the kids are like the kids that were at the convention. Everyone when I was going by and I see the furries walk down the alley, where the sales and stuff are going on. The kids would be like hide behind their parents. The kids are smart. Don't trust the furries, kids. They're not to be trusted. But it was kind of frightening. It was like that right there. And then there was some dude. He was like 6'2", 6'3", and he was dressed casually, but he had a mask on, like just a standard mask. Nothing. He wasn't dressed as anything. It was just like whatever. And something told me that guy's trouble. I'm using my security guard instincts. I was like, that guy's trouble. Somebody needs to watch out for him. Like, he might abduct a child. You know, that kind of thing. And you never know with these people. No, it's scary.
Nothing happened. You didn't witness anything later on.
No, I did kind of... I did kind of stalk after him for a bit.
Make sure you got your Unbreakable on, did you?
I got my... I just put my arms out. But it was... I mean, overall, I had a good time, but to see people charge that much money for sketches, like not even good quality stuff, you know, your mileage may vary, as they say, but charging for signatures, asking for donations, you know, they like Tim said, like, oh yeah, your boy Frank Avila, you know, dude, he was even there for half the convention. His stuff was like, it looked like his table had died. It had a wake in a black draped cloth over it, you know, covering the merchandise.
They pronounced it dead, did they?
DOA at the convention, but and he's got the goofiest mustache. He's got like, it's not a Hitler stash, it's like starts here and it goes like right there. It's like this little kind of thing like that. It's like, dude, shave that thing, man.
That's weird.
It's the dumbest looking. But yeah, and I was gonna stop by and get copies of that Ed Pisker who did that X-Men Grand Design.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he was there, but he was like, he had a bunch of people around his table. It was funny to see some of these, that guy that Ramon Villalobos, the not quite Frank Quietly,
the
Frank Quietly ripoff guy. The
Frank Loudly guy.
I didn't see, like, I saw maybe one person at his table, you know, like the many hours I was at the convention. I was there from like 11, a little after 11 to about 3:30.
Yeah.
So I didn't spend the whole time there. I was like, just I had to get out of there. My feet were killing me. I was hungry. I'm not paying, you know, $10 for a slice of pizza that tastes like it's 2 days old. No, thank you. But
the best slice.
I mean, I'll go back next year more than likely. But it's just, you know, hopefully there'll be less people there selling prints. And more people selling comics or zines or their own stuff or whatever. Something more than just prints. It's just, it's a comic convention, not some kind of, you know, flea market for your crappy art, you know?
Yeah.
It's like whatever's popular pop culture currently. It was very interesting. I almost thought I was going to be crushed by some black woman because I heard a black woman scream behind me. It turns out she was scared of Michael Myers, who was coming down the escalator, and she was trying to get off the escalator quickly. It's just a dude in a costume, but she was freaking out. So you tell me.
Yeah.
You tell me. People are like, you people don't know what fear is. I felt like Buffalo Bill. You don't know what pain is. Put a lotion in the basket.
Well, look, thanks for your update on Heroes Con. It sounds great. I'm glad that we made this the focal point of this episode. It's been a week. You may have noticed that E3 has been and gone, and we've not really touched upon it once right now, notwithstanding. That's exactly how unenthused we were by what we saw. There were no real standouts we thought that we'd discuss.
Oh, you don't mean the Naughty Dog's dating simulator game. By the way, it's supposed to have some kind of infected mushroom people in it too. But you wouldn't know that from what their promotion materials. But Last of Us 2, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The nose knows, man. It's just, you know.
It does indeed. Also, on top of that, this week, the ambassador, Larry, of you and I, of nerds everywhere, Chris Hardwick, fell from grace, allegedly. You shake
those wings were ripped off. Those wings are ripped off, and he got kicked out of heaven. And
you shake your head, but for me, and I've mentioned major spoilers before being formative for me to want to do a podcast, Nerdist was just as formative for me. I started listening to both of them. Well, actually, Major Spoilers started first a year earlier, but in my head, they're there in that formative period when it was still lifting up. Before then, the only podcast I listened to was My Extra Life Radio. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah.
I never listened to that one.
With Scott Johnson. And the only other podcasts I knew of were just excerpts from radio shows that I liked that they were still working out how to release. You and I have had differing opinions about Chris Hardwick. You have honestly thought...
I called it years ago.
Years ago, you called him a deviant and an asshole of the uppermost echelon.
I said, that's a fake person. He's evil, and he's going to do it. Like, he'll come out one day, and you're like, come on, you're just being judgmental, something along those lines. Yeah. And what happens, like, I never doubt the Larry.
Now, based on the alleged accusations of his ex, Chloe Dykstra, he's a, again, allegedly a what would you call a sexual monster. And emotional bully and manipulator.
I'd say monster. The monstrous behavior. It's like if you were to tell me Chris Hardwick ran a concentration camp, I'd buy it. His attitude towards supposed people he loves.
For a multi-millionaire who looks like he does and could have his choice of women compared to two schlubs like us who know how to treat a woman right, it just seems like the most unfair of things to do, what he did, gaslighting that girl and treating her like utter crap. But you can correct me if I'm wrong. I just see that the biggest thing there. So you know, it's been quite a week, and rather than dwell on those, I really appreciate a glimpse into your experience at HeroesCon. One final thing, Larry. You might have remembered we put the challenge out there for people to continue the story of Bill Jobes via our iTunes comments section. Do you remember that?
It's been forever, dude. I'm kind of blanking a bit.
Okay. So we put the call out there inviting people to review the podcast on the iTunes page. And then we deviated and went on a rant and made up a fictional story about...
Oh, my God. Now I'm getting total recall now.
Bill Jobes. You're getting total recall, are you? So what's she look like? Is he sleazy?
My name is not Lally.
And demure?
They're sleazy and demure.
Anyway, we've had some reviews. And it's been a while since we've had any more than the three reviews that we've had. So what I want to do, Larry, because now I know you haven't read them, is read them out. I definitely know who one of them is. I think I know who another one is. What I want to do is I'll read them out, I'll leave the username out, and I want you to judge for me of the three, which is the one we'll give the prize to.
Okay.
And remember, the prize was a commission collaborative piece.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first review is titled AKF is Fun, Give It a Listen, with 5 stars. Discovered the show at episode 5 and have been hooked ever since. Basically, co-host Antonio surprises co-host Larry with a surprise topic each week, and the conversation takes lots of crazy twists and turns. Its hosts are genuinely engaging and the topics are unique and different. Give it a try. Okay, that's review number one. Review number two. Try out a few episodes. 4 stars. Listen to two cartoonists chat about stuff. If you have no friends, like me, you can be a third wheel and listen in too. Okay. Review number three. This is a podcast that just works. 4 stars. Too many podcasts are full of editors that are boring with people that have no chemistry. This is the podcast that feels like some guys got to hang out on a Friday night and cracked open a couple of beers.
Okay, here's the thing. All three are great.
Mm-hmm.
All three. But to give it one, I'm going to give it number three. That right there, I think that sums us up pretty well.
Okay.
I think that sums us up quite well.
All right. So the problem is, number three, I can't remember who you are. Your name here is Mega Gears X.
That's Braylon. I know Braylon.
Okay.
We'll just type in at Mega Gears X, and he's on Twitter. So,
all
yeah.
right. Well, we'll wait until this.
I didn't know it was him. Okay. This is not like I've done disclosure. I've done live streams with him before, but I did not know it was him who did this. Like, I haven't, because he's like, I don't know how to get to.
I know you don't. You don't suckle from the teat of Steve Jobs, the dead teat of Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, the lawn, the weed whacker man. as played by Jeff Fahey.
Thank you very much, Super Sweet 78 and Nikki 057 for your reviews as well. They are appreciated. Mega Gears X, well done. Reach out to us. We'll also reach out to you after this show goes live, and you can make your request what you'd like us to draw. But keep it up. We'd appreciate any reviews we can get on iTunes. It just spreads that love a little bit more, and it doesn't cost you a cent. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Ant King Frequency. We'll talk to you next week. Larry, anything else you wanted to add?
Don't pay for no signature. Don't be a dummy.
There we go. Don't be a dummy indeed. Goodbye now.
Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.